Good morning, Greg. I was forced today to do that take, and I put in Nathan Buckley because Nathan's still shocked that Stephen May was suspended. And I noticed overnight that Rodney Eade has said he's flummoxed that Stephen May only had one option, and that was to go straight at Tommy Rockliffe. Now, I think this is one of the reasons why maybe tonight we are going to see more people at the soccer than to see a game at the MCG between two great, great AFL clubs in Collingwood and Geelong. And I'd like to get some feedback from our fans on this, because I just feel that if we have leading people like Nathan Buckley and Rodney Eade condoning Stephen May going off his line and knocking out Tommy Rockliffe, a player who's chasing the ball, then if that's the way the game has got to be played, then I can understand why people want their kids to play soccer and we move away from Australian rules football. Australian rules football is not about knocking out people chasing after the ball, Greg. It's a far greater game than that. We've got enormous skills in our game. More skills, I think, than any game in the world. You've got to take marks. You've got to chase. You've got to run. You've got to jump. You've got to kick. You've got to handball. You've got to dodge. You've got to weave. People come at you from all directions. It is a fantastic game, Greg, but it does not need players chasing after the ball and then all of a sudden being picked off, bang, hit in the head, and then placed in an ambulance and taken to hospital. When kids see that, when parents see that, they say, why do I want my kids to play that game? Now, tonight, can you believe it, Greg? They may get more people to watch two Melbourne-based sides playing soccer than Collingwood playing Geelong.
Well, it's a fair few points you make there, Kevin, and I'm flummoxed by the fact that I read Rodney Eade's, what he described as a mind-blowing three-week suspension. Now, you know the troubling thing about this is, if both coaches thought that was legitimate, how are they coaching their players? Because surely...
Well, that's a problem.
Well, surely they've got to be coached in the right direction there. I mean, if people are in higher places, and they're not the first two fellas either that didn't like the suspension, thought it was wrong. But if people in high places don't know the rules now, God help us. But look,
you wouldn't coach a player or defender to do what Stephen May did. If any of the coaches say, well, that's the way we're going to coach our players, well, that is ridiculous.
Well, if they're saying it's legal, I presume they've been coaching that way. So I don't know. Look, I would have thought, you know, tonight, sensational game at Etihad, probably 54,000 there for the final knockout final. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if there was 60 at the G. Collingwood are on a roll. It's a Collingwood home game. Should be a pretty good night tonight. I would think there would be 60 at the G. I would hope there would be. But you make very valid points about whether you're a parent and you're tossing up. We've talked about this a number of times, you know. Where does my kid, my boy, plays footy? Does he play AFL? Does he go to soccer? And you've been watching the events of the last few weeks where... I must admit, once again, we're in a spate of concussions. You'd be concerned, and you would probably rather your child play soccer.
I want to take some early calls on this. Greg Venom Denham has joined us. Blackie is in plenty. G'day, Blackie.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you going? Hey, KB, I do agree with your stance on the headline, but just in terms of your kids playing, I've been involved at a junior level and coached for quite a while. My son played Aussie Rules with a lot of his mates. Not a lot, but there are a few that chose to play soccer, but if you ask them, they probably love the AFL more, but we're pushing that from a parent's point of view. But also, KB, I've got a 10-year-old girl who's just started playing Aussie Rules at my son's club. We've got three age groups for girls, under 12s, 15s, and under 17s. There's 10 other clubs in her competition. It's thriving. My eldest daughter goes to an all-girls school, and they've got a girls' football team. So there's a lot more girls over the last couple of years started playing Aussie Rules. And what people forget is these girls will grow up to be mums and will change the trend of pushing boys away from football. Because if they've played football at a young age, surely they'll say, well, if I could play it, my son can play it.
Look, I think it's fantastic that the girls are playing, and obviously it's a growing game for girls. And I think females have always loved Australian rules football. I think the most passionate of supporters are females. But I do feel, Blackie, that as they grow up, if they see people being knocked out when they're just simply chasing after a ball, and people are going to condone that and say, well, that's the game, that's the rub of the green, you've got to accept that, then maybe they're... as they grow older, maybe their thoughts will change. Nick is in West Footscray. G'day, Nick.
G'day.
G'day, Nick.
Hey, dogs. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Nick.
Now, it's not parents pushing kids away from AFL. It's the kids, and they're just basically, and their friends, and they're all playing that Xbox 360 FIFA 15 game. And that's got them all, and it's got them hook, line, and sinker. I was watching with the PE teacher just this morning, and basically on their oval at primary school, there was 8 soccer balls, not one footy. And if you speak to all those kids, what is it? And it's they all play this game, FIFA 15 on the telly, and that just it's just got them hook, line, and sinker.
Okay, FIFA, they're playing a video game. The fact that worries you, Nick, not worries me, because it's great kids are playing sport, but if you're a fan of Australian rules football, there would have been a time once when there would have been 8 footballs on the oval and not one soccer ball. Maybe there was one, but what you're telling us is there's 8 soccer balls on the oval and there's no football on the oval. Maybe it's the FIFA game that you're talking about, but something is attracting them to the game of soccer. And I don't think you'll get attracted to Australian rules football as a kid or as a parent if you keep seeing people put in ambulances and taken to hospital. Doug's in Taylor's Lakes. G'day, Doug. G'day, Doug.
Good morning, gentlemen.
G'day. Good morning, Doug.
Look, going back to what you're saying, I mean, I'm a pro AFL member and a Bulldogs supporter, but in the 90s, when I had a chance for my son to be playing either AFL or soccer, I chose soccer because of the fact of, the behind play incidents. As a parent, you didn't want to see your little kid get knocked around. And then now, 15 years down the track, the guys have been playing still soccer in senior level and so forth. So from a parent's point of view, soccer is probably a little safer sport for kids.
Yeah, well, the good thing that we have eliminated most behind the scene things incidents in the last 10 or 15 years.
Been strong on that.
That's been really, really good. But, and I think we've eliminated or tried to make the game much more cleaner. And I think that the head is sacrosanct. It's tried to be for a long time. And as soon as we make it sacrosanct or reinforce that again, we get silly, naive comments from certain people in high positions and particularly a couple of coaches that seem to ruin that. And that's what Kevin and I find it hard to understand, Doug.
Doug, thanks for that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with your calls and Greg Venom. Coming up also after 10 o'clock is Friday Sports Show with Neil Baum and DC. Of course, they're playing for the Neil Baum Cup tonight and the Neil Baum Medal as well. Richo's off to the races with Value and his famous quiz. Dave Loudon always looks at sport in the media, so I'll be fascinated to see how Dave looks at the media this week. And football focus leading into the game tonight with Dermot Brereton. Jesse is in Glen Iris. G'day, Jesse.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Jesse. Yes.
That's the way. Just a comment about the boys maybe turning to soccer.
Yes.
My son plays in the under-13 age group.
In football or soccer?
Football.
Football.
He is skin and bones, and most of his teammates are as well, and they're coming up against boys, same age, but they've got men's physiques, and it's quite frightening for them.
Well, there are some, particularly juniors, you can see some kids, of course, some are more precocious than others, and, they're bigger bodies, and, it's one of the things, that's why we have under-8s and, under-10s, and that's why I always say to some of the parents, don't try and put even if your kid's a good player, don't try and put him up into a higher division because you think he's a good player. Let him play in his age group as a kid. So as a mum, Jesse, did you see the incident on the weekend where Tommy Rockliffe got knocked out?
Yeah, I did.
So as a mum, when you see someone chasing after the ball and then he finishes in an ambulance on his way to hospital, does that concern you?
Of course. Yep. Petrifies us. And that at this age group, it's where you see such a difference in heights and weights, and that's where I think the parents are getting concerned. It's where the damage can occur.
Mm. And so, therefore, maybe they like their kids to play soccer because that physical advantage that kids may have at that early age is not as prevalent.
Yep.
Safer.
You can see they play against boys who are literally double their body weight and who have muscle, whereas our boys are still ribs and bones, yeah.
Okay, Jesse, appreciate your call. Other mums, do you have that same concern as Jesse? Jeff is in Pakenham. G'day, Jeff.
Hey, KB, how you going?
Jeff, going well. Thanks for joining us.
Just wanted to say I've been a Collingwood member for nearly 15 years, and for the first time tonight, I've actually chosen to go to the soccer.
Ooh. And the reason being?
Well, everyone talks about it at work, and apparently the atmosphere is really good. And so I bit the bullet, and I said, yep. I said, I'll come along, and I've been watching soccer probably for a few years, but I think the atmosphere is going to be the big difference, I think.
That's interesting point you make, Jeff. You said everybody's talking about it at work. Now, there would have been a time during your working life where no one would have talked about soccer.
Oh, 100%. Soccer wouldn't even been mentioned.
So now everyone is talking about it at work. My understanding is that Joffa was going to go tonight. I think he tweeted he was going, but I think the boys on Morning Glory told me that he hasn't been able to get a ticket. So the fact that he hasn't been able to get a ticket, he's not going, but he wanted to go to the soccer tonight. Now, here's Joffa, who heads up Collingwood's cheer squad. I mean, even for Jocker to be thinking that he wanted to go to the soccer and not head up, you know, with a gold jacket tonight, that tells us something, doesn't it? Cookie's in Hatfield. G'day, Cookie.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, mate. You?
Yeah, really well, really well. KB, just got a couple of points. One, I usually agree with you most of the time. I've just got a little bit of a bugbear that you've said that, in your opening statement, that Nathan Buckley condoned the movement that knocked him out. He did condone the movement. He didn't condone knocking him out. So you've got to be careful what you actually say there. Buckley went on record on Monday night on AFL 360 as saying that the player's health is paramount, and every coach, I reckon, would resonate with that. What I think we've got to be careful of here is that if the young Gold Coast player had a put that bump on and hit Rockliffe square on the shoulder and knocked him off the ball and picked up the ball and rebounded that out of defence, I reckon everybody in AFL football would be saying, what a great manoeuvre, what a great bump. That's what footy's about. Hip and shoulder and knock him off the ball. He misses by 2 inches in a game of inches and a game at full speed. Rockliffe absolutely didn't expect the contact, but as Cam Mooney and Barry Hall both agreed last night, there's a duty of care for yourself to have peripheral vision. And even the Ox said the same thing on your run home last night and made the relation to when you're actually driving a car. You've got to be conscious of what's going on around you. He made no effort to even protect himself. I don't want to see guys knocked out. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm happy with. But at the end of the day, it's a physical game. It's not soccer and it's not basketball. They know the contact is coming. You know you've got to brace yourself and you've got to have peripheral vision. Secondly, just quickly, if we had two Melbourne sides playing in a semi-final, Carlton Collingwood, I bet you we'd get more people than they would at the soccer tonight. So it's a bit of an anomaly that it's the first time it's happened. So it's a bit of a buzz.
I think that the peripheral vision's a pathetic argument. I mean, if Tom Rockliffe even had eyes in the back of his head, you're still not expected to be KO'd. I mean, I don't cop that. I mean, peripheral vision, yes. Justin Kaczynski many, many years ago probably should have been more aware of certain things. I don't think Rockliffe should have expected that. The other thing, when you talk about 2 inches, 2 inches is a difference between winning and losing in grand final. You can hit the post with 2 inches. 2 inches is a big thing. I wouldn't make mention of the fact that it's so small an area that it's the difference between getting knocked out or not. Of course it is.
But I think, Cookie, also they are condoning that he got knocked out because they're saying he should not have been rubbed out. And therefore, they're saying the action that he did in that incident and passage of play is okay. And, in fact, they condone that passage of play. That's what they'd want their players to actually do.
Flummoxed.
Well, flummoxed is the word used by Rodney Eade. I just don't understand. You must, to get a player chasing after the ball, then someone to go off his line when he could actually do four things that I can think of for starters. One is he could have actually gone for the ball in the first place. The second point was, if he wanted to, he could actually push him in the side if he wanted to, because you're allowed to push players in the side. The third one is he could actually put his arm out and shepherd and even lean on him if he wanted to. And the fourth one that comes to my mind, as we see every week, he could have even allowed him to, he could have sweated on him. He could have allowed him to get to the ball first and then tackle him, as we see every week in football players sweating. There's four things he could have done without knocking him out. And that's why I'm saying if Nathan and Rodney believe that this, they're flummoxed by it and he should not have been rubbed out, they are condoning the fact that he got knocked out, and that should be okay in our game. And to me, that's not okay in our game. David is in on the Gold Coast. G'day, Dave.
Yeah, g'day.
G'day.
Cookie had the same sort of comments that I was going to make. I was actually at the game watching it live.
Yep.
It was such a quick sort of decision, and the guys obviously defending the goals, pretty important win for the Gold Coast. you know, it's a split decision. He didn't intend to knock the guy out. He just put his body on the line and, you know, did a good move. Unfortunately, hit his head.
I don't think he was pinged with intentional, was he? No, so that, no one said it was intentional. It was careless.
You know, it's a contact game, and soccer's a different game. That's true.
No, it is a contact game, though, David. But it's a contact game where you can't hit people in the head.
But there's no intention. It's going to happen. You know,
well, that's why you pay the penalty. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's why we have incidental contact in marking contests where things do happen and it's an accident. That's why if he had contested that ball properly the other day and they actually clashed heads when they were going for the ball, that would have been an accident and play on.
Do you understand that, Dave? That if he had gone for the ball and had his arms out or going for the ball and then his shoulder had have hit Rockliffe in the head, he would not be suspended because they would have said he was going for the ball. That is deemed as accidental or incidental
contact.
Had
no other alternative.
No other alternative, but he's going for the ball and then they had an accident. So that's the difference, David. We'll take a break. Appreciate your call. Sports Central is coming up. Don't forget, if you want to continue any conversation with Greg, go down to the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. They've got the cosy open fireplaces there, got the footy on the four big screens. That's what we call real Richmond hospitality. 94286895. 24 minutes to 10. Also coming up Friday, Sports Chat with DC and Neil Baum. Jason Richardson, of course, Richo's off to the races with Value. Dave Loudon, Sport in the Media. And Dermot with Friday Footy Focus. Greg, just before we go back to our callers, I heard the boys on Morning Glory playing a bit of Gary Lyon, I think it was on the football show, talking about Gary Ablett and that he feels he should be stood down or stand down or shouldn't be captain of the Gold Coast Suns. I'm not quite certain why people are blaming Gary Ablett because all of a sudden some players have gone out and they've started to drink and go against whatever was the rules put in place by Rodney Eed. I mean, no one's calling for Rodney Eed to step down as coach. I mean, surely Rodney Eed would be more responsible than Gary Ablett for if they're not adhering to rules of drinking at the Gold Coast Suns. So no one's going to be silly enough to say Rodney Eed should step down because he can't get his message across and can't stop these guys from drinking. I don't see why you're blaming poor old Gary Ablett.
No, I agree. Look, surely the coach has more say than the captain.
Well, I would think so. You would hope so.
And I mentioned yesterday that maybe Ablett might not be captain of the club next year. But, I mean, that's another reason. He's a bit older and, you know, he's got to get his form back and his fitness. But I don't think that you can pin all the troubles that are going on up there to Gary Ablett and even question his leadership. Look, he might be a bit quietly spoken, whatever, but I'm sure that you wouldn't change him as the leader midstream.
Well, I don't remember people calling for Chris Judd to be sacked as captain when Levi Casbolt was handcuffed on the boat and was paralytically drunk and his dad had to come and pick him up. I don't believe anyone said, well, you know, you better sack Chris Judd as captain.
Yeah, good point.
So yep. Why all of a sudden...
No, I don't know the answer.
Do people want to sack Gary Ablett as the captain of the Gold Coast Suns?
I don't know the reasoning, Kevin, for that.
Frank's in Phillip Island. G'day, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking our call.
Sweet.
Pleasure.
Just on mine and my wife's, our son at the moment is 14 going on to 15, and the AFL, Cricket Australia and Football Federation of Australia, trying to get his signature.
Wow.
Now, he's at the stage, we asked him his opinion. He said he wants to represent his country, and he can't do that with AFL. Because of the Asian Cup being on TV, the World Cup in cricket, all the coverage atmosphere. He wants to represent his country in one of those sports. But the other thing is, football is his favourite sport, AFL, but he's worried when it comes to draft time. He's drafted to a team that might take him 5-6 years to develop, and it's something where he's just not sure of that he wants to do. He doesn't want to put 5-6 years into a team that don't get anywhere, because what's happening at the moment, then he's one of those players that leaves later on. You know, a team invests so much in him, and then he leaves to a better club, but he's worried about the draft, that he doesn't get to go to a team that he wants to go, which might be the same in other sports, but the difference between the good and bad teams in AFL is much wider than the other sports.
Well, I think AFL is getting better. I think all the facilities at clubs now are pretty good, Greg. You know, there was a time when, you know, North Melbourne didn't have good facilities and the Western Bulldogs didn't have good facilities, but it seems now that they've got state-of-the-art facilities. Some of the state-of-the-art facilities, Collingwood seems to build a new one every 5 or 6 years.
But take Frank's point. You wouldn't like to be drafted to Brisbane, would you?
Well,
let's face it.
Well, at the moment, they're down and out at the moment.
You wouldn't like to be drafted to the Gold Coast,
but
right
I'm not
now.
Quite certain what they're... I mean, I'm assuming their facilities would be reasonable.
It's not all about facilities, you know. But yeah, I mean, I take Frank. It's off the subject that we're talking about, but I take his point.
Thanks, Frank. Glenn is in Bundoora. G'day, Glenn.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Firstly, there'll be 60-odd thousand at the G tonight, so which is more than Etihad holds. So I think we can forget that argument.
There'll so over, yeah, they'll get over 60, Glenn.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. And secondly, this myth of soccer being less dangerous, I watched the World Cup and I reckon I'd seen 20 or 30 deaths. Now, admittedly, they all made a full recovery on the sideline after being stretched off, but... Geez, they go down hard, them boys.
Oh, that's the worst part about soccer. That's my that is the one thing that I just cannot watch, and I see it time and time again. And they're absolutely gone. Won't play again. Probably out for 3 or 4 weeks, as Barmy'd say. And you know what? Within 10 seconds, they're patrolling the boundary. Want to come back on? Hey, Kev, before we go on, I just have to say, well done to the Coburg Cricket Club too. The girls down there. They've just announced that Susan Alberti, you know, the vice president of
the Bulldogs.
Western Bulldogs, and a magnificent coup for the ladies' coach, Catherine Morrow. They've got Susan Alberti along as their number one ticket holder.
Well, she's a magnificent benefactor, is Susan. The other good news, that story on Josh Cowan for Geelong fans.
Fantastic.
Playing his first game in, 4 years? And it seems that just reading a bit about Josh today, I think he's only played the 3 games in his career back in 2011,
I think, yep.
That it's not as if he's had 2 or 3 knee reconstructions. It seems that it's all been soft tissue injuries, Greg.
No, well, when you read these type of stories, and Courtney Walsh has covered it really well in The Australian as well, I mean, it just makes you think that, you know, these people that just that stick and stick and stick and wait for another chance, and it might take 2 or 3 or 4 years for them to get back, but you just hope they go really well. The endeavour there from that young boy has
fantastic.
Been absolutely sensational.
That's one of the highlights of the game tonight. And also Tom Lonergan plays his 150th game. And we all know Tom, you know, his 6th or 7th game, lost the kidney. So that's been a great career.
That was life-threatening as well. That wasn't just career-threatening, that one. So, yeah.
Troy's in Caulfield. Wants to talk about soccer. G'day, Troy.
Yeah, g'day, KB. How you going, Greg?
Good, mate. You?
Yeah, good, thanks. Look, I'm a parent of a boy that I played footy for a lot of years, and I really wanted to get him into Aussie rules. Number one, because, you know, it's the best game in the world, like I say, KB. Number two, I wanted him to play a sport with a team, you know, so he's involved in a team.
Yep.
And number three, I thought, you know, with all the skill sets and everything like that, plus it is a little bit hard. I mean, you know, there's a lot of challenges in the game. So I wanted him to play footy for that. He played 3 years of AusKick. In the last 2 years, he played in the under-12s and 13s. He was a leading goal kicker. And I'm absolutely devastated this year because he came home to me in summer and he said, Dad, I'm playing soccer this year. And I said, why? And he said, because all my mates are playing, everyone at school is playing, and I'll back up that guy that rang earlier. He plays this FIFA sport thing on the PlayStation, and he's playing soccer against these kids online that are in Europe. And
really?
The World Cup,
in Europe,
all of these things, yeah, it's just taking him away from Aussie rules.
Well, that's fascinating that this PlayStation, not only do they like maybe playing the game, but obviously they've got a great game with this PlayStation on this Xbox that, you know, you can play each other. Have we got one for football? Have we got a football one? I mean, obviously, we must have a football one out there somewhere. Those who play these games...
Football Monopoly, I saw the other day somewhere.
I think it's got to be something better than Football Monopoly, according to Troy, because they're playing
miss
each
a
other
turn, go directly to
all
jail.
Over the world. So, has anyone got an AFL one out there on Xbox or PlayStation? Or has anyone got anything out there?
You used to get $200, it'd be about 20,000. an AFL Monopoly.
So have we got an AFL game and how is it rated? Give us a buzz or tell us something about it because obviously this Xbox FIFA game on PlayStation is taking all the young kids into soccer. We'll take it for the input and feedback as far as this Xbox game is concerned. Here's a snapshot. There's been AFL Live released on PlayStation a couple of times. No good. I think it's hard for them to make because it's a 360 degrees game. Plus, the only market is Australia and the southern states. Others are saying there is an AFL Live video game. It's very, very poor. Looks like it was done on a minimal budget. They have an AFL game, but its lists are 3 years out of date. It plays okay, but it has nothing on the FIFA game. AFL Monopoly, instead of going directly to jail, you go directly to Richmond. The AFL video game is crap, says from Epping. AFL Life 2014 has poor gameplay, a shocking in-game experience, average graphics. So that's just some of the feedback on the AFL, what it's putting up against as far as the electronic game is concerned. Dennis joins us in Oakley. G'day, Dennis.
Yeah, good morning, Kev. Good morning, Greg.
G'day, Dennis.
Who made that gag, Kev, you don't go to jail, you go to Richmond?
Well, come off the SMS, they just sent it through. It was about football monopoly. You don't go directly to jail, you go directly to Richmond.
It's not just that, you don't get it paroled either.
All right, boys, listen, just talking about soccer, and first of all, soccer, and mums and dads must understand, is not concussion-free. People, when they talk about soccer, it's almost as if it's a no-go zone and it doesn't happen. I invite the mums and dads to Google the United States and soccer and concussions, and you'll be shocked at what you read. That doesn't mean the game won't grow.
Sorry, Dennis, are you telling us that it would be in proportion to the, say, the number of concussions that we've had in the AFL this year?
Yes, correct.
Fair dinkum.
That's the way it's reading. It's quite an issue in the United States.
That's surprising.
And it's escaped under the radar here because we have the AFL, and the AFL have been struggling with this. But the point I'd like to make really is this. Can we actually do something about this? Well, the United States Army, bless them, might be just the people to do something about it. We've watched for 20 years of young men and women getting blown up. They have a real interest in the concussion. And what they're developing in concert with the National Football League of America, the Gridiron, is new forms of helmets and ingredients to go into completely new fabrics, which will help protect people, obviously in the front line where they're fighting. But
yeah, that's all well and good because they do wear helmets and we don't. But I just have to say, Dennis, that no one works harder at the concussion rules and trying to prevent it, make it better, et cetera, than the AFL. Are nearly world leaders. They do attend overseas conferences every third year. They lead the way over even rugby league. So, I mean, this is one area that I'm actually close to because I talk often to people like Hugh Seawood, et cetera, et cetera. And they are absolutely going out of their way to try and do
also,
everything they possibly can
but
to
also,
reduce
Dennis,
this.
They're adamant, it seems, that in Australian rules football, the doctors that we hear about and they speak on this topic, that they don't believe helmets help the concussion.
Yeah, that varies. I've heard opposite views as well.
I would have thought that if you had a helmet on, it would help you. Certainly from cuts and scratches
and knocks and things like that.
But they reckon just from concussion, wearing a helmet doesn't limit the impact
particularly
of the concussion,
think
which
their
looks,
argument
seems
was,
a bit odd to me.
Their argument was more, you know, if you get an uppercut sort of to the jaw and most of your padding's actually on top of your head, I think that's where they ran into strife at times. But, look, we do work very, very hard. The AFL have got a new set of even guidelines out this year. You don't see... It'd be interesting to see if Pavlich and Walters play this week. Yeah.
We'll always have people getting knocked out because there will be accidents like Stephen May, where he elects the bump and, being careless, he hits somebody in the head. No one said it was intentional, but... You've got to make people aware that there's other avenues of attacking the ball rather than the risk that
this
you
is
take
why Colin,
of knocking someone
Colin
out.
Colin Garland
in the head.
Last week did not get suspended for knocking out Matthew Pavlich. Pavlich took a mark, took two steps, and accidentally Garland happened to actually be there. I watched it. It really wasn't his fault, but it was an accidental head clash. Yeah. Pavlich was off the ground straight away and is in some doubt still for this week. So that's the difference.
Michael's in Berwick. G'day, Michael.
Hello.
G'day, Michael.
Kevin and Greg, how are you?
Good, mate, you?
Yeah, very good, very good. Just a few points. I grew up playing both AFL and soccer and played at a pretty good level, and they're both fantastic sports.
Yep.
And last week I was at Colin Carlton. Today was a bit of a toss-up. Am I going to go one or the other? Of going to the soccer, but not because... put it this way, if it was Collingwood Geelong semi-final and home and away game for Victory City, I'd be at the Collingwood Geelong game.
Yep.
So, look, they're both fantastic sports, and I seem to, you know, well, we're debating which one's better than the other. But I also coach, I'm a junior coach. I'm a coach in an NPL club. And what I've noticed in the last 4 or 5 years is the amount of, not so much mothers bringing their kids to soccer, little kids starting from 7, 8, 9 year old, a lot of fathers bringing their kids. And also the
I'll be there Sunday myself.
Yeah. And the demographics, I've noticed a lot more Anglos. In the past, used to be a lot more Europeans, but now, like the Aussies, and they're all bringing and they're very excited. They're like embracing the game.
Yep.
And I ask them, why, and mainly the kids. Oh, the kids really want to play.
That is exactly right. Why? I asked my daughter, do you want to play? What do you want to do this year? Basketball? Soccer? Oh, no, soccer. Absolutely, soccer.
So what answer do you get then, Michael?
Well, it's the kids, and this, as they grow up, as they're coming up through the different age groups, the one common factor that seems to be is that the pathway is, when I grow up, I'll want to play for Australia. I want to play in the World Cup. And the opportunities, I guess, with soccer through pathways through Asia and more so to Europe, because most of these kids aspire to one day maybe be like a Messi, a Ronaldo, a Beckham, and the amount of coverage and the games, like we've talked about the video games and all that,
yeah,
portray these players, and of course they see what they, the sort of the benefits, financial benefits, if they do make it, it seems to be, they're sort of attracted to this, even at a young age.
It's interesting. I got several grandsons, and one of them, they all love football and they all play football. But one of them, he can tell me every soccer player in the world. I said, the Real Madrid's coming out here, to play out here, and Chelsea's coming out here. And all of a sudden, he's telling me every player in their squad and side, not only their names, he's telling me their nationality.
Yeah, Foxtel, Kevin, that's why.
Nationality.
Yes, because of Foxtel.
We'll take a break. We're coming back. Don't forget Friday Sports Chat with DC and Barmy's going to join us. Jason Richardson off to the races. Richo, Dave Loudon with Sport and the Media. Dermot Burden will join us from Friday Footy Focus. And Greg's open to any discussion down at the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond. The big news is that the food is so popular with Greg down there. Got to need plenty of Greg's there. Upstairs is open for dinner with private dining rooms also available, and got those cosy open fireplaces this time of the year, and the footy's on the four big screens. 94286894. Greg, who do you think's going to win the Neil Barm Cup tonight, Collingwood or Geelong?
Collingwood by a long way, Kevin.
Is that because Geelong's in decline?
No, it's because they've had too many games in too short a period.
And they've got
a lot of injuries.
They get Mitch Clark back?
Move on. That's all you need to know.
Well, I'll just
Collingwood by a long way. I think they'll win by 7 goals.
Okay.
No Mackey, no Stokes, no Bartel still. I think they'll win by a long way. Hey, have you ever heard of this before? Fremantle are playing three Pierces, spelt the same way, not related. It's like that movie Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase, remember? Doctor, 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 Pierce.
You're not saying that's the first time we've got three surnames in the one side with no relation.
No, but Pierce is pretty unusual. They're all from different parts of Australia.
Well, I'll put it out there to our fans. Send through an SMS. Can you recall three people playing for the one side, all with the same surname, but not related? Because Greg thinks it's the first time in the history of the game.
Oh, have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day, too, for Sunday.